You're listening to a download from North Sound 2. Listen again.
Good morning. It's good to be back with you after my little break last weekend. My thanks to Cammy Campbell for holding the fort while I was, well, I was flouncing around Florence this time last week, really. Just boasting. And the 7 days since have thrown up some interesting topics for us to discuss this morning, as I invite you, sooner rather than later, to call the programme with whatever is on your mind. Aberdeen 40 10 35 is the number. So what can we talk about today? Well, in the Torrey area of Aberdeen, there's disquiet among some people living around the Victoria Road Primary School, which was closed, you may remember, along with four others. That was 3 years ago. Residents are unhappy because the school has been a target for vandals. Fires have been started and all the windows smashed. There's been support locally, I'm told, for the site to be used for housing, but nothing has developed. And if you live in the Torrey area and you have a view on that issue, I'd like to hear from you this morning. Aberdeen 40 10 35. And it's emerged that among the gifts handed out to visitors to Aberdeen City Council and to Councillor Peter Stephen, who is the Lord Provost of Aberdeen, have been pens, Cartier pens, valued at £150 a time. Now, is that too much, especially in these straitened economic times, to spend on giveaways? Give me a call. Now then, on the bus situation, there's a new schedule published by First Bus in Aberdeen, and that will mean that drivers will lose out on overtime. It's a move that could spark industrial action and maybe even a driver strike over the Christmas period. Now, if you're a bus driver listening to the programme and you'd like to tell us what's going on, then give us a call. Aberdeen 40 10 35. And here's another topic we could think about. Following news of the possible eviction of residents in a housing association development because their dogs have, allegedly, been fouling the surrounding area, I'd like to know if that's a problem where you live, or indeed if you live in the area that we're discussing, which is the Bob Cooney Court little scheme down about Berry Den. Aberdeen 40 10 35. But today we're going to start with a story which centres on a young man called Duncan Ross. He's 24 and he comes from Tarland. He's also blind. And he's trying to organise a demonstration in protest of what he describes as the hostility he and other disabled people have received at the Aberdeen bus station at Union Square. Duncan joins me right now to explain why he's fed up of such bad behaviour. Good morning, Duncan.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us this morning. This has all started because, is it because of one particular incident, Duncan?
No, it's several incidents on quite several occasions.
Uh-huh. Tell me about them. Tell me about the worst of them.
As you know, I come in from Tarland and my only means of transport is really by bus.
Yeah.
I've been in the Aberdeen bus station I'm not able to go to college and to go in to see some of my friends now in Aberdeen due to the behaviour of stagecoach employees.
Right, what happened? Because I gather that you were treated very badly. Tell me exactly what happened.
I went into the bus station. We have got an audio announcement system put in place, but we don't have anybody to use it.
Right. So when you go,
and all we've got is TV screens that could be a use for some people, but not for all.
Of course, you can't see them.
Yeah.
And so when you have gone to inquire about, for example, what time your bus is leaving, or
I've gone to inquire at the information desk.
Yep, right, okay.
And they have actually sworn at me on several occasions.
They've sworn at you?
Yeah.
Well, without telling us what they've said, at least not the swear word, Duncan, what kind of thing have they said? I mean, I gather that they've said to you, for example, can't you see for yourself?
Yeah, can you not see the ... bus coming?
Yeah. All right, and when you've explained, presumably you've explained that you can't see.
Yeah.
What's been the reaction?
I haven't had very much help at all.
No. This must be very hurtful for you.
It is very hurtful.
So, you intend to get some kind of protest going, don't you?
Yeah, I intend to get some kind of protest going on the 29th of October. I've got a meeting that anybody can attend.
Right, and this, so it's the protest will be in the form of a meeting.
Yeah.
And do you hope to get a meeting with the bus company people?
Well, I hope to invite them on the 29th, so that they actually can get to know what exactly is going on.
Right, so that's
going to themselves.
Yes, of course, and that's going to be useful to. So basically, Duncan, you're asking people who have had problems to come along to this meeting.
People who have had problems, if they can't come along, I have got contact details.
Okay. I'll tell you what we can do. Would you allow me to give out your mobile number on that?
Oh, yes, that's fine. I've also got an email address as well, if you also put that on as well.
Well, I'll tell you what you could do. You read out your email address where people who want to come to this meeting to discuss problems they feel are happening at the Aberdeen bus station at Union Square. What's your email address?
It's CRASKINS. So that's Kraskins. 10@ googlemail.com. .com.
That's Kraskins 10, the number 10,
yep.
At googlemail.com.
Yep.
Okay, and what I'll do is I'll read out your because it's public knowledge, your mobile number is 07760 125 836. And anybody who wants to get in touch can always call us here at North Sound and we'll give that information out. Duncan, good luck with your meeting.
Okay, thank you.
And, we'll hear from you perhaps and you could tell us, give us a call when you get some good news from that meeting.
I will do, yep. I'll give you a call as soon as I've got good news.
Okay, thank you. Good luck.
Bye.
There we are, Duncan Ross. I know that Duncan is one of many people. I've met many, many people who have complained about a variety of issues at Aberdeen bus station down there at Union Square. One of the big ones, of course, is that you can't get dropped off there, and if you're disabled, you've got quite a distance to walk to get there to be dropped off elsewhere. What we're going to do now is go to Norman. We've got a break coming up in a wee while, but let's speak to Norman while you're there. Good morning, Norman.
Good morning, Frank. I just wanted to virtually mention what you mentioned. On an occasion earlier on this year, I had a 90-year-old friend coming up from Monifieth.
Right.
The man has difficulty walking. We actually drove into the bus station to be screamed at to get out of here. The language used was absolutely appalling.
Yeah, yeah.
That no cars are allowed in there. They make no facilities for disabled drivers to park near the bus station to pick people up. You've virtually got to walk through Union Square itself to get to the bus station. How wheelchair users and the elderly, not only the elderly, young people like the young man that's been on,
yeah,
are expected to cope, I don't know. Whoever designed Union Square bus station, in this day and age, disabled and disadvantaged people are meant to be taken into consideration. Certainly no consideration been given whatsoever to the Union State Square bus station. And I'd like just to make one more comment. Everybody in Aberdeen says Union Street is an absolute nightmare. No wonder it's a nightmare. They've moved all the shops to Union Square. I just wanted to mention that point.
Well, that's right. That's certainly an issue which has been ongoing now for years. What, you know, the decline of Union Street.
When I was a child, it was a pleasure to walk up and down Union Street when I kind of came up from Glasgow on holiday to see my grandmother, to go down to the beach, etc.
Yeah.
Now, you see every single down and out. I'll be honest, I'm not biased against anybody from any country, but most of them are from Eastern European bloc countries who come over here to scrounge off our benefit system. And in this day and age, no one needs to be homeless. There are a number of houses that are lying empty throughout the city of Aberdeen. No one needs to be homeless. And I'd just like to mention quickly about the Tory school that's being vandalised.
Yes.
This country is in the grip of a recession and we ain't seen nothing yet, right?
Yeah.
Any house developer would need to be mad to start developing houses. They're virtually having to give away houses.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation.
And they're saying that Aberdeen's in a bubble. Aberdeen's not in a bubble. I've never seen so many for sale signs up, and not only for a few weeks, for months on end.
Well,
houses for sale in areas like Cults, which would be snapped up just like hotcakes.
Yeah, change days.
Change days.
Norman, you've thrown out lots of issues there, which our listeners will no doubt pick up on, and it's good to hear from you again. Thanks for calling.
Right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye.
Bye. Right, we have a couple of more callers on the line coming in. Remember, we'd like to hear your views on anything that's on your mind. Certainly the topics I mentioned at the head of the programme are worthy of discussion this morning, but we're going to have a little break, after which we'll be talking to Harry.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Welcome back to the programme. Well, we've had some interesting discussions so far about a variety of issues. We're going to talk to Harry right now. Rick's waiting as well, and so are some others. So don't go away, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk to Harry. Good morning, Harry.
Morning, Frank.
How are you this morning?
Oh, fine. This week just starting work.
Oh, are you? Right, okay. You're in the car?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. What's your point this morning, Harry?
Okay, I just put on... as I said, I've just come out to work and I just heard the last two comments about the bus station,
yeah,
the parking for disabled people.
Yes.
Now, I've been at meetings for over 2 years with Hammerson and the bus station and the councillors.
Right, let's just explain to those who don't know that Hammerson actually own Union Square.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the developers. Okay.
Yeah. And we've had meetings time and time again about this problem about parking in the bus station.
Yeah.
And Stagecoach won't give in one inch.
Right.
Even Councillor Kiddie's been with us, and he's been battling with us, trying to get it. What we have now is, if you come up Guild Street, just past the traffic lights to let the buses out of the bus station.
Yeah.
We took away, the council took away so much the railings and of the, what do you call it?
A bay? Is that the little bay?
It's not actually a bay, Frank. It's just on the third lane, as though you're going into the station. Just there.
Right, okay. At the top of the steps, virtually?
No, just before the traffic lights into the station.
Oh, yeah, I know where you are. Yeah.
They took away about three sections of railings and put up signs for disabled parking.
Right.
People can drop off and pick up there.
No, is that not good enough, Harry?
Sorry?
Is that not good enough?
Yeah, well, we thought it was very good because they've only got to walk around the corner and into the bus station.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they don't have the hike through the centre to get to it.
That's right. So you're saying that while Hammerson's, are they a bit sympathetic to your plea, but the bus company isn't?
Yeah, the bus company won't give an inch. They say there's too much, well, for health and safety, there's too much bus movement in the place for people to go in.
Yeah, it just seems to me that the whole thing has been badly planned.
Well, I was going to tell you now, we had one of the planners at the meeting from the council, and we asked them what happened, and they said, oh, it was an oversight.
Oh, really? It's unbelievable. You can't believe that in this day and age. Especially with the rights of disabled people, and they've got to have proper access, and it's in the law now, it's legislation.
I know.
And yet you're telling me that the planner said this was an oversight.
Yeah.
My goodness me.
And they couldn't rectify, it was too late to rectify.
Yeah, yeah.
So we come up with that plan, but they can't wait for any length of time. The people's got to be there waiting for them at that point for picking up.
Yeah, so goodness help you if the bus is late.
Yeah.
Well, look, Harry, I'm really pleased you phoned in this morning because you've given us a little insight into this. The only question I've got for you is, why were you meeting with these people?
Well, it's got to do with the station. I work out of the station.
I see, okay.
And we've got problems in there as well.
Yeah.
If you notice in front of the Union Square, there's double yellow lines.
Yes.
But they're just ignored. Because, like, here's an instance last night. I came in and there's people parked in that little lay-by there.
Yeah.
Right to the end of near the lights. And people can't get into the station. Well, you can get out, but you can't get in. Because people are blocking and waiting for people.
Uh-huh.
And,
but what would answer me this one? If you're dropping off a disabled person at the railway station, where do you drop them?
In the station.
You're allowed to go into the station.
Of disabled bays in the station.
Right. Okay. Because on the odd occasion I've been down there and I've driven in there, I've become aware from all the glares from the taxi drivers that I shouldn't be there. And yet there are lots of empty bays there. Although I've never parked my car there, at least not since about day five. So that's interesting. So there are facilities to drop disabled people there. But then what do you? So, well, here's the question though. Supposing I'm dropping an elderly, an infirm, a disabled person at the railway station. I cannot then actually see this person onto the train because I've got to get my car out.
No.
Can I?
If you are dropping a disabled person, or an elderly person, you want to take him to the train.
Yeah.
As long as you take him to the train, come back and go.
Okay.
The problem is private motorists coming in and they're sitting there, they're going away shopping.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is what our gripe is. It's they're blocking up the station, they're blocking up our parking.
Yeah.
We pay for it. Sure. You pay a lot of money for it.
Okay.
But they're still going for that. They just come in and we get a height of abuse and swore at.
Yeah.
When we ask them to move, you know, because they're taking up a parking space.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's acceptable. And not to swear at you, I'm saying it's acceptable.
No,
you're upset by this. But, well, Harry, look, thanks for that insight. That's really interesting today, especially the bit about the planner saying that they just forgot about it.
I think that was a way back.
Yeah. Oh, well, it all makes sense, doesn't it? You wouldn't understand why they should leave out facilities like that. Great, Harry. Okay, well, many thanks for you. Just a way to start work. You're a taxi driver, obviously. You're away on shift then, are you?
Yep.
Have a good day. Hope you make heaps of money.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye bye.
Okay, Frank. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye. Let's go to Rick, who's been waiting. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Frank.
Thanks for your patience this morning.
You're welcome.
You want to discuss dog fouling, I think, isn't it?
There is three issues. The first one is dog fouling.
Yes.
The second one is about the Victoria Road School.
Uh-huh.
Then thirdly, about council saying they have no houses at all in Aberdeen.
Mm-hmm.
Right, first of all...
Dog fouling, is it?
Dog fouling.
Okay.
The area you say, that you have said,
yeah,
it is a problem. I don't live there, but I live the other side of town,
mm-hmm,
in not a very nice area.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a choice from the council. It was this or nothing.
Right.
Now, I had a pet, then I got another one. So I have now two dogs. My dogs do not, when they foul outside, it's picked up, it's binned, I come in, wash my hands, then I sanitise my hands. But there are people in my area, despite the fact we have dog bins, and councillors for this area know that there are dog bins,
mm-hmm,
a lot of people are totally ignoring it.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing is, the dog fouling is left on the grass, or B, it is picked up and it's chopped maybe a side of a bush.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's so disgusting. I mean, where I come from, we never had that problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and...
So that's an ongoing problem, and it seems that it's an ongoing problem in various parts of Aberdeen, and it doesn't seem to be alleviated in any way. And, you know, we've heard about the wardens and so on, but they can't be everywhere all of the time.
Exactly.
You've just got to hope that people are going to be a wee bit more responsible and pick up after their dogs, don't you?
Well, yes. But the thing is, people don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just 2 days ago, when I nipped across the shop, there was a little staffy pup. Couldn't have been more than 6-7 weeks old.
Uh-huh.
And I actually watched this guy scalp this dog.
Mm-hmm.
And if I did not have shopping in my hands, guaranteed I would have loved to slap him something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
There is no need for that. You know,
yeah.
If you don't want to love an animal, I mean, an animal is not just for Christmas. An animal is for life. You know.
All right, let's move on to your other topics now.
Right. Vicky Road School.
Yeah.
Right. I have noticed there has been members of the travelling public in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it has been vandalised. It has been set on fire. But obviously, by the time the police and everyone comes around,
mm-hmm,
everyone's gone.
Yeah.
Now, the council are saying, basically, we'll make a housing development of it, maybe. But this same issue, there was a pub about two or three streets away from one of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was a notorious pub. They've tore it down, and they're meant to be putting housing there.
Mm-hmm.
But a year on, it's still empty. The ground is flat, but there's nothing there. Now, as for the council, I don't know what the priorities are. because I heard in the news today that they're going to be doing some scheme about people who's reoffending, and it's going to cost the council £90,000. Mm. Now, I'm not sure if that's per person to, when they're released from prison.
Right. Well, I don't know about this story, but...
I don't think that's going to work. Really, I don't.
Right.
And Councillor Kitty is behind this one, and I just seriously think it's a no-no. You know, mm-hmm. I mean...
All right, so that's that issue. And your third issue, because we've got to go to a break, Rick, is about housing, was it?
Yes, housing. There are houses empty in Aberdeen.
Yeah.
But the council turn around and say, sorry, there's not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, years ago, I don't know what system is up here, but where I lived in just outside Edinburgh, we used to, like, if you saw a house, and you thought, okay, I like that one,
mm-hmm.
Check a number, inquire at council. Apparently, up here, you cannot do that. And there are issues that you can get discretionary laws. You can get a discretionary move as well. Now, officially, you're only allowed two discretionary moves. But my point with the council is, and I'm not backing down for this one, when you first apply for a house, you should be entitled to three offers.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen. You get one offer and that's it. If you don't take it, they kick you back on the system for 6 months.
Right.
That shouldn't be allowed. And as for like housing in deprived areas, some of the houses are really in a bad state.
Mm-hmm.
Heating wise and things like that. I mean, could you imagine if like someone who's disabled and infirm,
mm-hmm.
or elderly goes into one of these properties and they've only got maybe like gas radiators to heat up the whole property.
Yeah.
That's going to cost them quite a lot of money.
Sure.
You know, heat up a property.
Well, you've thrown up some interesting topics there, Rick. We're going to have to go to a break now, but thanks for calling in this morning, because there are people out there listening and, you know, councillors listen to this programme and they're listening to what the electorate are telling them, and let's hope they get the message. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. There we are. We'd like to hear from you now, dear listener, on any of the issues of the day, whether it's dog fouling or whether it's the Victoria Road School in Torrey being vandalised and left there as a derelict building, or problems at the Union Square bus station in Aberdeen. Call me on Aberdeen 401035.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Thomas Haney is next. Good morning, Tom.
Hi,
is it it's Tom.
It's Tom. Tam. Hi, how you doing?
Fine. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Okay. What points would you like to make this morning?
Well, I was listening to somebody earlier on, and he was talking about the people on the streets begging.
Yeah.
And he was saying it was like Eastern Europeans.
Uh-huh.
Now, my wife is from Poland.
Yeah.
And she's been in the country since 2005, and yeah. I can tell you, right, she's been working since she got here.
Yeah.
And the only time she's not been working is when she fell pregnant. She's been a stay-at-home mum now for 3 years. Now, the baby just went back to nursery there. Just started nursery in September.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as she went into nursery, she went back to work.
Yeah.
Now, she's never done anything like that. I mean, I do go up and down Union Street quite often. You do see people begging, but it's not that many people.
I think let's clear this thing up here, because I have noticed a dramatic shift in the begging population, if we can call them that, on Union Street in the last few weeks. And in fact, there was a huge piece in the newspaper quite recently about it. I don't know if you read about it. It is now largely Romanian gypsies.
That's right, aye.
And all the guys and the women that I used to see on a regular basis on Union Street begging seem to have disappeared.
Exactly.
And their places taken by these Romanians.
Yep.
There has been a suggestion that this is a kind of organised gang.
Yeah.
With all the money going into a big pot.
Yep.
And that they're in fact almost like employees. And I think the police are investigating that kind of line of inquiry. So I think now we know where we're coming from. I think there is a difficulty in brandishing everything and everybody, East European, the tag as East European, when in fact, you know, it's like saying Scandinavia, isn't it, when you've got three, four countries in Scandinavia.
Yeah.
Okay, we've cleared that one up, I think. Damn,
yeah,
have
we? All the one was about the housing. The guy talked about the housing, the situation with all the empty houses and that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just in a situation where I've had to apply now for another council house for a bigger one.
Right.
Because my wife, her mum's husband, died 2 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And she was living on her own in the middle of nowhere in Poland, so we brought her over here to stay with us.
Yeah.
So we're in a two-bedroom flat with my wife, my mother-in-law, and my son. And my son's 3-year-old who sleeps in our room now.
Uh-huh.
So we've had to apply for a house. And it's absolutely ludicrous because they've only given us 10 points for the family situation and 5 points for the mother's. She's got a serious illness.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got 15 points. And, you know, so it probably takes about 2 or 3 years maybe to get an offer. And the thing is, what you're saying about the three offers, you used to get three offers. They used to give you three offers. If you didn't like the first one, you could knock it back and get a second offer and a third offer.
Yeah.
But now what you're saying is they only give you one offer. So they pick an area which is underpopulated, run down, and totally not suitable for purpose. And they give you that offer. And if you don't take it, they put you to the back of the queue for another 6 months. And they say, well, sod you. That's you. You just have to wait again.
Well, are you saying that they know that you're not going to take this because the place is run down?
Yeah, well, I mean, if somebody offered me one of the flats in Logan that's run down, I wouldn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not acceptable. I mean, I'd have to leave a perfectly good house that I've done up and made respectable to go back into a shell.
Yeah.
That I'd have to start from again. Now, I don't expect it to be a palace, but I do expect it to be fit for purpose, you know?
Yeah, so they're asking you, in effect, to refurbish this property, are they?
Because exactly, that's what they're doing.
Yeah. Presumably wouldn't have happened in the past. You've been given a house that was fit for purpose.
Yeah, what they do, they go in and repair any kind of superficial damage, i.e. the doors, skidding boards, heating, stuff like that. Stuff that's their responsibility, they would fix.
Yeah.
Decorating and that, I can understand. That's up to the person that moves in. You don't expect it with wallpaper and paint.
Uh-huh.
That's something that you do yourself. I can understand that. But you do expect everything to be in working order and to have the facilities that you want,
yeah,
like gas, central heating, hot running water, electricity, you know, stuff like that. I did get offered a house in Logie 5 years ago,
mm-hmm,
and it didn't have any radiators, no central heating,
mm-hmm,
didn't even have a fire in the living room, and I had a newborn.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I kind of says, well, I'm not taking that. But we'll fit central heating for you in 6 weeks' time. I goes, but this is the middle of winter and it's the baby's newborn, you know?
Sure, sure.
You know what I mean? So it is kind of atrocious what I've been.
Yeah, and you're kind of stuck in a limbo then. There's no way out unless you get more points, presumably.
Yeah,
got to wait and wait.
You got to wait. Every year they give you an extra 10 points or something like that. I know somebody's got 100 points and they've been waiting 2.5 years.
Really?
And still not got an offer.
My goodness. Now, do the council say that's because there aren't enough properties around?
Yeah, they're saying there's too many people on the waiting list, there's not enough properties.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the exact words. Now, the thing is, the reason there's not enough properties is they had the right to buy, and people were buying their council houses. But they weren't replacing the ones they were selling.
Well, that's true. That's what's clogged up the whole system, of course.
Yeah, so the people that bought their council houses, they weren't replacing the ones they were selling. So instead of getting one bought and then building new houses for the ones that they're replacing. They never did that.
No, they didn't.
And now they've got a backlog of tens of thousands of people all over Britain, not just Scotland, but Britain, who haven't got adequate housing or low-cost housing. The only other option we have is to go outside the council to like somebody like Langston, Margaret Blackwood,
uh-huh,
and apply to them. But then it's supposed to be affordable rents.
Yeah.
But a one-bedroom flat from Langston is £300 a month. So I need a three-bedroom, so you can imagine how much that's going to cost me.
And how does that compare with the council then?
Well, I'm in a two-bedroom and it's £250 a month.
Right.
And the thing you want from a housing agency is a secure lease.
Yes.
Now, where a council, when I signed the lease, I've got a heritable lease.
Right.
So it's basically a 100-year lease. So when I die, my family can stay in that house.
Yeah.
Ken. But with a housing agency, your lease is only 5 years and it's renewed, and they can put your rent up at any time.
Ah,
as long as they give you plenty of notice, 6 weeks' notice, 7 weeks' notice, they can keep putting your rent up and up. You know what I mean? But with the council, they're only allowed to put up every 2 years or something.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it has to be within the rate of inflation, sort of thing like
that.
So it is protected.
We really need to get back as a country to building council houses again, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
We do.
Okay. We need to start looking after the people that pay the rent and pay the poll tax.
I agree with you wholeheartedly on that one, Tom.
Okay.
Okay, many thanks for your call.
No worries, bye.
Thank you, bye. Let's go quickly. We're going to have a break, but let's talk to Barry for a couple of minutes, shall we? Hi, Barry.
Hello there.
How are you today?
Oh, fine, thank you.
What's on your mind this morning?
Yeah, it's nothing better than a moan, isn't it?
And you've come to the right man.
Yeah. I just read in the paper, was it last week, about how affluent Aberdeen's doing.
Yeah.
Amongst all the economy gloom and all that. But they forget there's a lot of people on minimum wage in Aberdeen. There's a lot of people just above the minimum wage. And it's,
sure.
There's, the other side of that is it's expensive to live, you know. If you're working hard and just getting minimum wage, it's really difficult. And I'd like to make a point also about the housing situation.
Yeah.
I see David Cameron's coming out with a new incentive backed by the government. They'll pay X amount of their mortgage, I think, 5% deposit, mm-hmm. plus the bank will pay 5% deposit, to buy their council houses. So you're still going to this buying the council houses, which the gentleman just spoke just now has explained that they never replaced that council houses, which is part of the backlog. Now, this is going to get worse. Now, they've no intention. You know it's not going to happen. They're not going to build more council houses. They can't afford it. And Aberdeen has been terrible for years as far as housing is concerned, and it's certainly not going to do any.
Well, let's look at your first point, where everybody thinks Aberdeen's such an affluent place, and it is, but we forget that there are serious areas of deprivation in Aberdeen and a lot of poverty and people living just on the above the breadline. We forget about that in Aberdeen. And my own feeling is that these people have been largely forgotten by the politicians. And I remember many, many years ago, this was, we're going back to really at the start of the oil industry, if you like, in the 1970s, that this whole thing was flagged up, that people were doing well and there were opportunities and jobs, but there were others who were just not doing well at all, and they were largely kind of forgotten.
You see, they like to paint Aberdeen as a nice, affluent. Your local councillors here like to say that, you know.
Yeah.
And it's true, it is. But also
it is, and the great thing is it's low unemployment.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, there is still this feeling among people that everybody is doing well, and everybody isn't doing well.
You know what annoys me is see these politicians. Yeah, your David Cameron's and all them.
Yeah.
These are all millionaires. These guys.
I know.
I mean, people call them Millionaires Row. Mm-hmm. They really don't live in the real. They really don't live in the majority of the real world. They're normal people, and it's to be. You see, they're public educated. They get the best chances of life. I've nothing against that. If you've got it, fair enough.
Yeah.
But the majority of these people live like that. You know, like they do.
Yes.
And how can you have people running your country if they don't really come from what you would call more like a working-class to middle-class background?
Well, I think politicians should be there to look after the have-nots in society more than the haves. And if you look at the Tory front bench of 23 millionaires...
Well, there you go. And what annoys me also is, you like your Osbournes, your George Osborne, the Chancellor.
Yeah.
He comes from a very affluent background. He's got a DIY... It's almost as big as B&Q in England.
Yes.
And believe it or not, a lot of these people, him included, avoid paying huge taxes. They know how to... It was publicised.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And here's them preaching also that we've got to cut back. It really gets on my nerves.
It's hard to take, Barry.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for that.
But good to hear your moan again.
Okay.
All right, speak to you again. Thanks.
Cheers.
There we are. Let's hear your moans as well. Just get on the phone and tell me what's happening in your life and, you know, what's really getting up your nose. Give us a call on Aberdeen 401035.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Welcome back to the programme. We're in the final few minutes of the show. You can still get your call in by giving us a call on Aberdeen 401035. We've covered a whole range of stories and issues this morning, haven't we? Ranging from the Union Square bus terminus, which a lot of people are unhappy about, particularly the fact that you can't drive in there, and it's a real problem for disabled people and elderly people to try and get from A to B, to get to and from that bus station. And we've heard earlier on in the programme that a young man who's blind. He's 24. He comes from Tarland, and he has been verbally abused, he tells us, by people at the bus station for merely asking a civil question. Let's speak to John now. Good morning, John. Are you there, John? And would you put your radio down or off?
Hello.
Hi, John.
Hi, Frank. Hi.
You're there.
Yeah.
Right, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, as I said to the lad I spoke to, it's not strictly a local issue, but it's quite prominent in this area. It's a thing about young drivers and the fatality rates of them.
Yes.
I know it's a thing that affects national government mainly, but this area is quite bad for it because of the affluence. You know, young guys seem to be able to lay their hands in cars quite quickly.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if there was some way that local politicians or even the council or something could put pressure on national government to do something about this, because successive governments seem to they refuse to grasp a nettle on this. And
what do you think they can do, John?
Well, a number of years ago, I'm a motorist and a motorcyclist, right? And just to give you the sort of background, and a number of years ago, they made the motorcycle test much more difficult.
Yeah.
You know, now young riders up to the age of 21, they kind of ride a motorcycle more than 33 bhp or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But a 17-year-old lad, he can pass his test, and immediately, if his people have got the money to buy him a big fast car, he can immediately go and drive this thing on the road.
Yeah.
And there's something wrong there.
So maybe it's, are you suggesting that if they pass their test, then they should be kept to a low CC engine before a certain age?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's so
well,
obvious.
If they do it with motorbikes, I don't know why they can't do it.
I know,
with cars.
Well, the thing is as well, of course, motorbike as well. If some young lad had a crash on a motorbike and he hurts himself, maybe even kills himself, but that's it. But in a car, you know, a big, you know, chunk of metal in a car in the hands of a young driver. Well,
yeah.
I mean, I was one in Fraserburgh just the other week.
That used to be it's a terrible thing to say, but it used to be a kind of hot spot for fatalities among young drivers, because I know from my experience as a newspaper reporter and covering that part of the world in the late 60s, very well-off young fishermen.
That's right.
Would buy expensive cars, and invariably there'd be a fatality almost every weekend.
Mm-hmm. That's right, aye.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And we haven't learned from it, have we?
We didn't seem to, and this is what I can't understand. You know, they've made it more difficult for young lads to get a motorcycle license, but then I've done the same for cars. I don't know why.
It's an interesting idea. I think it'd be nice for the government to look at that one.
I think so, aye.
John, thanks very much for your call this
morning. No problem, Frank.
Good to speak to you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
There we are. That's it. That's one out of the blue there from John. He's come on with a good idea. Listen, we've only got about a minute left of the program, which means that we're toiling to deal with some of the calls that are coming in, because they wouldn't have long enough on the program to make their points, really. So all I could say to you is that, remember what we've been talking about this morning. If you've got problems with regards to the Aberdeen bus station, go and make your complaints. If you've got problems about the fact that you can't drop your elderly or infirm or disabled relative or friend at that bus station, then I think the more people who, you know, muster support, the better. That's one of the many issues. Dog fouling, the lack of council housing, all that's been up for grabs this morning, and we've had a good airing for all these points of view. So thank you again, dear listener, for tuning in this Sunday morning. I always enjoy our chats, and it's good. I'll tell you what's not good. Everybody seems to phone in at the kind of final part of the programme. Get your calls in early. I want to speak to you every single week. Remember, you can listen again to this programme by going on to northsound2.com/listen-again, or slash as they call it, listen again. In fact, you can do that with all our programmes here, and you can even listen to the Dons, the highlights from the commentary in their win over Dundee United yesterday. I'll be back next Sunday at 11 o'clock. Do join me.
Listen again to what you've missed. and access exclusive online-only content at northsound2.com.